It's time to press the button.
Button, button.
We are here. Hello, welcome to Cause and Effect. This is a homebrew D&D campaign, possibly our penultimate episode. Possibly we've got two more after this one. It depends on factors that are beyond my control. Mostly what the players choose to do. Because everything in this campaign has been the player's fault, and it will continue to be so. My name is Crash. I'll be your GM for the evening. Tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Yo, and Jen. What happened last time?
Rubble. Combat. We get 2 points, right? There's combat?
Yes, you all got 2 GURPS points at the end of last session. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Those cannot be redeemed for anything in Dungeons & Dragons.
Can't buy a hobby skill?
Every skill you have is a hobby skill.
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. That's why I'm
Wait a minute. We've been playing this campaign for 3 years. Is that the first time we used that specific pun?
Yes, I think so.
And I say the collective we because I don't think any of the rest of us did that. EO's the first to do it.
Excellently done.
Well done, EO. So,
thank you.
Yes. There was combat. The session was mostly combat last time. You were recovering from your previous adventure in what would normally have been the intermission inter-arc episode. But instead, giant stalactites made of waste nanites were thrown at the Adventurers Guild headquarters that you have called your home for most of the campaign, in fact. Now, there were defenses put in place against attacks from nanite-based things, because not all of them were organisms. But this is an incredibly large volume of that. So while the forms that the nanites were taking are rapidly dissolving because of everything that's put in place in this building by the Ogmanites, they're in strong enough collections, dense enough collections, that they need a little help with the dispersal. Fortunately, hitting them with a giant hammer or, you know, a magically conjured sword or
Great axe.
Honestly, hitting them with a frost bolt did it too.
Oh yeah.
They're kind of fragile.
Time to say what I want to do on my turn.
Yes.
Because as it happens, I believe I had 3 darts.
All
yes,
right.
Anti-nanite darts. You do still have those.
Now, my friends are doing an admirable job attacking the flaming nanoskeletons. I don't want to attack those. I want to throw this at the pillar.
Ah. A 26 is going to hit a giant pillar.
This is the broadside of a barn.
It does have an AC that is above 0, but that's because of its density. There is some armor to it, but the dart pierces.
It would be lovely if this would pop up the thing to roll damage.
The recording is not yet 10 minutes in, and we're already fighting with Foundry. I said this before the recording. I love these characters. I love this campaign. I am very happy to not be playing D&D when this campaign is done.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to do 12 damage as a start and also do whatever it's going to do to a pillar full of nanite.
All right, I'm logging the damage. Now, how this is written... Well, first of all, damage is rolled as if a critical hit occurred, but you've...
Which I did.
Yes.
And then I rolled max.
The next attack against that pillar is going to be rolled at advantage. And until the end of the next turn, a yellow glow leaks from the wound. This thing is, the whole pillar is starting to glow with an inner yellow light, which is beginning to overpower the blue glow that it's been giving off naturally, Is that the right word? I don't know. But it is a word.
Supernaturally.
Yes. So it starts off glowing blue, and then the blue turns to green, because that's how color theory works. And although this is color theory for pain, that's color theory for... Never mind. It's a fantasy setting with dragons and magic. I can make color theory do whatever I want.
Does it turn Borgy chartreuse?
It turns paisley.
Ooh. Huh. Unusual.
Briefly. They're nanites. They don't know what to do. They're operating off of junk data. It is unable to hide. Good news, everyone. This giant pillar sticking through the ground from the ceiling is unable to hide.
And I'm crossing my fingers and hoping desperately that this might keep it from producing more nanoskeletons this round.
Oh. Also, its movement speed is reduced by half.
I sure hope it's not moving anywhere.
Well, it's made
of nanites. It could be moving.
That's true.
Yes.
If they slow down sufficiently, the individual nanites, does that mean that they would all sort of lose cohesion and start falling apart harder?
This is a possibility. You will have to wait and see.
Okay.
What has been happening during this combat is there's these four stalactites that came through the ceiling into the ground. They, as if they were dropped from a great height. I guess a demiplane controlled by a lich is a great height, regardless. As
is she parked up above flag headquarters? She's parked
on another plane of reality that she's trying to turn into a celestial realm. But with that said, these pillars have been sloughing off parts of themselves to form these burning skeletal nano things that have been attacking you. So the wondering is, if we hit the pillar with one of these anti-nanite things, does that affect the things that it's sloughing off? This is an excellent question that you won't find out until initiative 20, which is when I've been having these things slough off and have more of them. But you will find that out one way or the other by then. Unfortunately, Cavill is the first character to go after initiative 20, so we're going to have just a little bit of a wait.
Oh, no. Well,
and as a bonus action... No, wait, that's concentration. I did not take a bonus action.
As a bonus action, you change your mind.
Yes.
That's fair.
Usually that's a free action, but you can put more effort into it if you wish. You're upcasting, changing your mind. Okay. Next up is Cogbucket Sr., who has cast a few spells during this combat previously. Well, Cogbucket Sr. Led with Divine Word, which... Basically, if you're an enemy of the person who's using it and you can hear it being said, it does bad things to you. After that, spirit guardians were summoned and they're having a grand old time against one of the pillars and the things that are coming out of it.
That are going poof, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. And Cogbucket Sr. looks over and sees one of these pillars starting to glow yellow as opposed to blue. I do not believe it's supposed to do that. Interesting. And with that, the DM is going to check his notes to see how this works. Ah, yes. Okay. Yes, that is exactly what the DM is going to do. The DM is going to have Cogbucket Sr. cast Guiding Bolt at 8th level at the pillar.
Excellent.
Where the next attack is made at advantage. I'm not taking that from you. The next attack after this, if it hits, will also be made at advantage. You're welcome. Because Guiding Bolt, that's how it works.
We could throw more of them.
Oh, that's a dirty 20. Not a nat 20. But still. I want you all to watch these dice. Because this is not your normal Guiding Bolt. This is an 8th level Guiding Bolt.
Okay. How many spells?
11d6.
Nice!
And three of those die rolled sixes. There were also two ones. Don't worry about that.
40.
Yes, 40 points of holy damage. How many dice? 11d6, yes. 11t6. 116.
No.
This is like when I told my students, oh yes, and your final is going to be 15%, but what they hear is 50%.
Oh no.
Like, no, I refuse to give them any assignment that's worth half of their grade.
Yeah. Obviously, you're going to have to change it so that it's worth like 14% or 16%, because then, you know.
Oh, if the percentage was dictated by my superiors, I had no say in it whatsoever. And currently their final is part of their assessment category. All their assessments together become 20% of their grade.
The hearing will, you'll just have to write it real big on the chalkboard.
And lament that they're not paying as much attention in math. But with that understood, the next attack against this pillar, which I am going to, can I do a thing to this pillar?
You're the GM. You can do whatever you want.
No, that's not. There, now it's yellow.
Okay.
Ish.
Yep, I see the yellow glow.
Yes.
It's sort of a sickly brownish color, really, but that's probably about
okay.
Right.
Okay. When this happens, a whole bunch of the nanite skeleton things pop.
They were too
close.
As
the wave of energy flies out from the pillar. It's, you would say it ricochets, but that's not the right word, because it's more like it goes in and then there's a resonance and there's a shockwave that comes out of it.
Nice.
Yes. And Cogbucket Sr. is going to walk over this way, and one of these things that was not destroyed in the process is going to attempt a rend on Cogbucket Sr. That will hit and do 28 points of damage to Cogbucket Sr., who takes it like a champ.
An extra 2d8. Oh, slashing and acid.
Yeah. Acid damage because the nanites are consuming things.
Yes, that tracks.
Very rude.
All right. At the same time, technically, we're only in the third round, so this fight's only been going for 18 seconds.
That's a long time for a fight sometimes.
I'm not trying to pick up the template.
Which is directly underneath your character.
Which is directly underneath my character.
What do you want to do with the template?
Take it away because it was a temporary.
I'm on it.
Thanks.
Poof. There we go. Right. So I say this to point out that Mo's been playing a song on a fiddle, which you're certain is gold. You've seen the golden fiddle before. Well, Cavill has. I don't think anyone else has in this group. But Mo's only 18 seconds into the song. I don't think Mo's gotten to the first chorus yet. Might have skipped the monologue portion at the beginning, but regardless.
Undoubtedly.
Yes. Anyone who did not have a Bardic Inspiration die from Mo has a Bardic Inspiration die from Mo.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That includes Monty.
Oh, no. That's sure a pairing.
The Bardic Inspiration dies from Mo are the reason why the Submarine Optimals are still standing, by the way.
I believe that, yeah.
Okay, it is Monty's turn. That is a 4. Monty does not refresh his breath weapon. I mean, regain an ability to cast a very powerful fire-based spell. It's a spell.
I perfectly believe that a kobold might have developed a breath weapon after being, you know, an ancient sort of auburn kobold for a long time.
Monty is an arcane trickster rogue.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a powerful spell going on. Hobby is also an arcane trickster rogue, because sometimes spells are good. For everything else, they're sneak attack.
Fun fact, if you're looking at Monty's character sheet, he only has one fire-based spell, and it's Firebolt.
Oh, wow.
He can't even upcast it.
He doesn't need to. That's okay. Hobby can't look at his character sheet.
Firebolt is a cantrip. It goes up automatically.
Right.
Yes, but what if I wanted to go up more?
Obviously, it has to recharge once you've done it. It's what happens when you upcast a cantrip.
Monty rolls a 27 to hit with Firebolt. Wow. That's 30 points of fire damage.
Wow.
Yes.
That was a lot of Firebolt.
It was a lot of Firebolt, yes. Well, Monty is a level 18 arcane trickster rogue, in addition to being an ancient red dragon in disguise. Monty did a lot of adventuring disguised as a rogue. It's not a disguise. I really am a rogue. I am definitely a kobold rogue. No one denies this.
Well, he's one of those things.
I just suddenly have the horrible image of somebody who thought that they were hunting kobolds and discovered that suddenly behind them there's a very large red dragon whispering, "Sneak attack."
That is a hilarious thing.
Thank you.
The only drawbacks of this are that Monty doesn't whisper, like, ever.
Okay.
It might have been long ago. Because it would have been hilarious. Also, his whisper would boom.
I should write up Monty's starting points of, like, infiltrating the kobold clans that worshipped the Mountain Core to see how things were going, and failing miserably at being a kobold because, as an ancient red dragon, Monty had no idea how to kobold.
Oh, no.
Barely knows how to do it now. But imagine what Monty's doing now, only worse. And for some reason, Monty thought, yes, I'll just tell everyone I'm a rogue. I'm good at that. Sneak, sneak, sneak. You're actually yelling sneak in a baritone while you're tiptoeing. Is that not how one does it? Anyway. Eo is rolling dice.
Privately.
I love that. But in any case, that was Monty's turn. Now it is A's turn. This is known as, you ever play Monopoly where one person has like an entire 1/4 of the board? Mm-hmm. That's where all my characters are.
Okay.
They're on that side.
Yeah.
A is going to do a couple more psychic blades.
Just a couple.
Nice.
Little A psychic damage as a treat.
It looks like a 23.
Well, the offhand was a 23, yes.
Oh, yes, 21 and 23. That
did say. I just applied the damage to A.
Oops.
No!
A hurt themselves in my confusion.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
Applying damage to the right place now. Okay, fine. Moving forward. Which is what most of the submarine optimals are doing.
Did the bonus attacks damage get included in that?
Yes. I applied the damage to the right place, and then I had to math the other thing because the apply button stops being a button after I click it. So I didn't get to do it the easy way, but I have applied the additional damage. Okay. Let's see. So Fori was right next to one of the skeletons as Fori is running around the corner here. To this point, Fori's using their action to disengage so they don't get hit. Mox,
rogue.
As I said previously, was walking backwards, facing the mob of burning skeletons, shield raised. looking at Mox's abilities. Mox is not going to bonus action. Well, that's something, but Mox cannot bonus action disengage. Mox is not a rogue. Mox is a Correspondence Course paladin, as we've established.
Hoppy is praying for Mox.
Well, 20. That's a dirty 20 to hit.
Yeah.
And Short Sword does a mighty 5 points of damage, but also
smite.
Because paladin.
Paladin smite. Oh, nice feature. You get one free smite.
You always have the Divine Smite spell prepared. In addition, you can cast it without expending a spell slot, but you must finish a long rest before you can cast it this way again.
So you get one free smite.
Yes. There is a reason why Mox is using this.
No spell slots or few of them.
Because Mox is not a high-level paladin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Mox moves to here. All right, so now Mech was running over to assist the submarine optimals. Now all the submarine optimals have run past Mech.
Right, well, at least we can.
There's a lot of targets in front of you now.
Oh, right, yes. In front of you is a target-rich environment. It is your ideal environment. All right, we are up to the start of the initiative, which is not 20. It's 24. Hobby, it is your
Hobby
turn.
Hobby would like to bound over, if possible, to the tabaxi tree. Hobby would like to be...
You want to jump from one platform on the tabaxi tree to another platform on the tabaxi tree.
Poing, yeah. I mean, okay. I would presumably
Give
be bouncing off.
Give me an acrobatics check to do this.
Okay.
If you're just saying I'm climbing, then it wouldn't be a roll required because it's a tabaxi tree.
Poinging.
But yeah, you're poinging, so yes. With a 27, I will say that you are able to poing gracefully. There isn't even a point where you have to say that you meant to do it a certain way because you did mean to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Scattering other tabaxi here and there, no doubt, as they get out of my way.
There's one tabaxi that you land next to who almost fumbles a wand of magic missiles when you land next to them, but they catch it at the last minute.
Good save. Very tricky. Okay, now I need to do a measurement. Just barely within the 60. Okay. Now I need to not do the measurement so I can open my character sheet and check a... It's an effect, not a spell.
Also remember, the next attack on that one pillar to the southwest will be made at advantage.
Yes, but I would have to get close to it to do a proper sneak attack because you won't let me do it on a ranged weapon.
This
or
is
would
true.
You let me do
but
it
you,
on a thrown
you
weapon?
You are measuring to something that was 60 feet away and also on the ground. So I assumed you were going to attempt a range attack.
Yes. But there's no point in attacking the big thing if I can't do a sneak attack on it. I'll let Tex have the advantage.
In any case, what are you intending to do?
Ask the GM a question. What would I roll to throw a thrown weapon?
Which weapon?
The Shadow Blade. It counts as a... Let's see, deals 2d8 psychic damage on a hit, has finesse, light, and thrown properties, range 20/60.
Okay.
Do they count as in dim light or darkness by any chance?
No. Everything here, if it was in a shadow, is glowing blue at this point. As a rogue, chances are you are always rolling dex for everything for your finesse weapons regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I've said multiple times that I'm super amused that on A's character sheet, it gives me the ability to roll A's psychic blades as strength-based attacks. Because as finesse weapons, they could be strength-based if A wanted them to be. We're not doing that.
Well, the reason I want to know if I can... Okay, because if I hit... I think I actually have a slightly better chance of hitting with my cantrip. Frost cantrip. However, the frost cantrip is basically only one thing. I want to know if I can scythe my weapon if I get good enough with that shadow blade. If I roll well enough with the damage.
How I've been treating the damage for this is because it's a swarm, every 5 points of damage takes out one of these skeletons. So if you roll a single target attack and it does 15 points of damage, 3 skeletons are going off the board.
The cantrip is only going to do a... it does 3d8. Yeah, Shadow Blade is only going to do 2d8. Okay, in that case, it appears to be... While metaphorically, the sword would be cooler. It seems like Ray of Frost is more likely to do actual damage. More damage.
Okay.
So I'm just going to aim for the closest skelly thing up at the top there that I can see.
All right.
Let's see if I can make this here roll. Will 17 hit? Or is that...
A 17 will hit, yes. Roll your damage.
Okay. Damage. Normal. 12?
Okay. I'll process that. Give me a second here.
I'm hopefully up high enough to get at least one of those.
Pardon me, I'm a little distracted right now.
Oh, sorry. Ah.
Yes, you can see in the chat.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else that you do?
I don't think I have anything else that's terribly ultra cool, but at least I have the high ground. Also, actually, well, there's one thing. I want to check and make sure that they aren't getting into the storage area where Mork and Mindy are and the kids are hiding.
They seem to be going after targets they can see as opposed to things that have vanished into another room.
That's good.
There isn't enough critical thinking skill built in for...
They literally have no object permanence.
That would require additional coding parameters. Yes.
She just made them mean, uncontrollable, and hungry.
That's their default state right now.
Hmm.
You made some of them poof, though. So there was that.
Yes.
Okay. So, if that's your turn, that means it's Tex's turn.
Yep.
Do I need to move closer to the pillar since it's shrunk?
Yes. There's actually a bit of a hole in the ground where it hit. It has receded away from it. It's not enough that I'm going to say that you'd have to, like, jump down, but there's a bit of a gap there now.
Okay.
Mind the gap.
Then I will take the step forward that I need to take. And continue to hit it.
Okay.
It's possible that this means a thinger has an attack of opportunity on me.
This is true. You did move away from that one.
I don't think a 20 will hit.
In this case, no. If I remember correctly, a 20 will not touch text. It just swings at the space where text was as text strides forward, hammer ready, to roll a 23. That, yes, definitely hits. Roll your damage. Okay.
Nice.
That's 29 points of damage. Here's what happens.
No, that was...
Wait. Oh, wait. No, those are your other
those
two
were
hits.
Additional attacks. Those, yes.
You hit three times. So, roll all the damage you have. 40 points of damage.
Nice.
So, here's what happens when you hit this glowing yellow pillar of nanites. When you hit it, the hammer pushes into the side. It caves in a bit. There is a ripple that spreads up and around the sides and down throughout this thing. The ripples cross paths with each other. When they collide, gobs of nanite particles fly off and splash on the ground, but they look different.
Those are paler.
They're glowing
yellow.
They are
a pale imitation. They are a pale imitation of the original.
They're glowing yellow.
They're glowing yellow. Also, I should probably make this a little bit smaller.
One does kind of wonder about that. I don't suppose they've miraculously been given brains.
Give me an insight check. Anyone who cares to.
Oh, hey. I think I actually rolled
okay,
well.
Okay, Tex got a 25, Cavill got an 18, Hobby got an 18. So, in your conversations with Bindle Brightlight, who's the one who made the anti-nanite solutions.
Something there, sorry.
It's quite all right.
It was loud. Yeah.
But it didn't come through the microphone.
Okay.
There's actually a loud conversation happening right outside my apartment right now. Some people are, I believe, having a nice little party. But my gain is such that I don't think any of that will be in the recording. So there's that.
Okay.
Yes. This is not the first time. I have also never recorded the mariachi music that has been played at loud volume, although that's not happening right now. But in response
it would be
to,
funny.
I would prefer if it wasn't because I don't want to put copyrighted music in here, and I think it was. So
okay.
Copyrighted, not it. Right. But in any case, as in response to your high rolls for your insight checks, the anti-nanite solutions weren't sentient. Were they made of modifications to the nanites that Binda already had available? Yes. But in their concentration, they did not have any type of sentience. Bindle made it in a partnership with the sentient nanites that were trapped. These things are also not sentient. So spraying a not-sentient thing with a not-sentient thing is likely not going to suddenly make them go, oh, I think, therefore I am.
I suppose, however, the other question is whether they're going to start attacking the originals.
Well, they do seem to be containing anti-nanites.
Uh-huh.
So that's a wonderful question that will be resolved, possibly. But also, in addition, Tex did 40 points of smashing damage to this thing.
Mech, do you have a javelin?
Yes.
Mech has two more javelins.
Did you need one?
I think that pillar over there needs one.
The one up above Mech. No, the other one above Mech.
Okay. So
the one to the north that doesn't have Monty on it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
First, before you do that, Tex, is there anything else you're doing on your turn?
No, I want to see how this plays out.
Okay. Mech, it is your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to move up here.
Okay.
And start swinging the great axe.
Okay.
Javelin.
Javelin, Mech.
Yes.
Javelin?
The suggestion I was giving to you. So. Yeah, because the javelin basically has something that can infect these things.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, so let me...
So, with your first attack, I recommend using the javelin.
Okay, I got it. Sorry, I got a little confused.
It's quite all right.
Yeah, okay, so...
So you go to your inventory on your character sheet.
Okay, yep.
And... Right below your Great Axe of Intimidation, it says Anti-Nanite Javelin +2.
Does?
Yes.
Okay. There's the javelin. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's going to work, though. I think this is like...
Well, you are traveling a distance to get to this pillar. Mm-hmm. So we could argue that you move, throw the javelin, and then move some more.
Okay.
You don't have to be throwing it where your character currently is on the map. We could say your character threw it on the way over.
Okay.
I would also allow you to just take the javelin and one-handed stab it like the world's biggest knife. Because that'd be silly.
That would be silly.
But go ahead and roll for the javelin attack.
Okay, got the pop-up.
All right, a 29 hits.
Yeah. Yes.
That was a 17 on the die.
Got it now.
Okay.
Wow.
Now I want you to click on where it says damage.
Damage. Okay. There we go.
And when you click damage, when you get the pop-up, pick...
I think I did that wrong.
I was going to tell you to pick crit.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the way this thing works, if you're hitting something made of nanites, you roll crit damage regardless.
That'd be a 13.
So it's a 13?
Because 6 is max damage on the die. Is that, and then plus 5 is 11. Plus 2 is 13.
Okay.
We can go with that.
Yeah.
All right. So when you do that.
Should I roll it or?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Okay.
But when you do that, a thing happens. Yes, a thing. A thing happens. This pillar that you just hit starts to glow yellow.
Oh, there it is.
Yes. Now, here's a very important thing about these attacks. This happened for the other pillar as well. The next attack on it is done at advantage. So now you're going to use your Great Axe of Intimidation like you were originally planning to.
Right.
And I'll add it to the chat so you can click on it there.
Okay.
But now, when you click attack, click advantage.
Okay. Here's attack and advantage.
That is a 25. Okay. Roll your damage.
Nice.
Okay.
This one's normal.
A 9.
All right. 9 points of damage. It's still quite respectable.
Okay.
And some glowing yellow burning skeleton things pop out of the pillar that you've hit.
Okay.
All right. It's now initiative 20.
Okay.
Now we find out what the yellow ones do.
Yeah.
This yellow one runs all the way over to this blue one and immediately smacks it, and they both disappear in a greenish cloud.
Matter and antimatter! Yes!
Oh, wow. Okay.
This one here does the same thing over here.
Okay.
This one here attacks that one right there. Foundry is giving me errors saying, can't delete that because it doesn't exist. Yes, because I deleted it.
Yeah. That sounds like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get some lag here. Best to remove a bunch of tokens. If only there was some way I could do that.
He is relogging in because...
Yeah, reloading isn't working. What's the shortcut? The keyboard shortcut?
Control-Shift-R.
Thank you.
If you're on a PC.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it might be Command-Shift, probably Command-Shift-R on a Mac.
It's this one's...
Whatever the normal reload shortcut is, you add Shift to it.
Yep.
So if it's Command R on the Mac, then it's Command Shift R to force reload.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yeah, that didn't do anything. Still the void.
It says you're in. You may be re-entering because you vanished. I closed it. Ah.
Does it still say I'm in?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm not.
Indeed, you're not. You vanished.
It's also not making the changes I'm making to the map. Like, it's not applying them very quickly.
I'm wondering if Molten Hosting is having trouble again.
It could be having a day for the second day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was working earlier.
I wonder if it got confused when your connection dropped,
Probably.
Well, we've been playing for about an hour, so what do you say we take a break and see if this clears up?
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Also, I don't have the login option now. I just have Mo's face.
Oh, no. It might work still.
He's incredibly too smug when you get that particular problem.
Yeah.
I would go get my tea.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Pausing it now. And we're back. Foundry has had a stern talking to. It knows what it did.
It would do it again.
That's why we're ending this campaign. Well, there's many reasons why the campaign is ending. This is actually not one of the reasons why the campaign is ending, but it's one of the things I will not miss. So, as I said, these glowing yellow burning skeletons that have been popping out of the giant pillars, they've been running towards the nearest non-glowing yellow skeletons and attacking them. There were not enough blue ones over here, so there's still this one left next to Tex. It's not looking like it's intelligent. It looks like it's attempting to run further away, but it didn't have the movement to do that. Actually, no, it does have the movement because it can double move because there's no enemies. So it moves to there. And a few more that I'm not going to make pop out right now managed to take out this one and this one, but that destroys them at the same time. Basically, for the most part, for this pillar that's over here in the far west part of the map, that has guardian spirits right there. Imagine, if you will, someone has set up a wood chipper. They're just rushing into it and getting shredded.
Guardian wood chipper.
Yes. And a bunch more of these are going to run over to Mech because Mech is right there.
Yep.
But also, a lot of these are running over to the pillar, and they're starting to attack the pillar. And as they attack the pillar, it evaporates them. This group here turn and are trying to climb up the pillar that spawned them towards the little kobold that's using fire damage on the pillar.
Okay.
Oh, hello. Are you coming to my barbecue?
I believe they're on the menu.
All right. Now, that is initiative 20. It is now Cavil's turn.
So... the submarine optimals, I'm guessing, are significantly injured.
Yes. It looks like their armor and clothing is more damaged than they are, almost as if someone's been laying on hands. But they are here by the grace of a Correspondence Course paladin and someone who is playing a fiddle loudly.
So they do need more healing, or they don't?
If you if you used healing spells on them, they would greatly appreciate it. All four of the submarine optimals, including Mox, are not at full hit points.
Havel mounts their microphone onto the staff of healing like it's a microphone staff. I don't know what it's actually called.
It's
Mike stand.
Mike
stand. Yeah, that makes sense.
I've got several in my classroom.
And turns in the air and goes, "Optimals, stay ready," and heals them for, let me see, the charges on that. Where are the charges on that?
Can I partake of this?
I think so. I put it down where it should get you in text as well.
Yeah. And A, although A's taking no damage.
There it is.
Up to six. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Since A's taken no damage, that would be would be six of us. You haven't taken any damage, right, Cavill?
Correct.
Yay. Can I add 19 to my hit point total now?
Should do.
Yes. Thank you.
I am at 249 of 240.
All right. Is there anything else you do?
Now that I've healed them, Cavill goes, "All right, help Tex if you can."
They nod. It is Cogbucket's turn. Cogbucket is going to come over to here. Oh, granddaughter, I was going to attempt to heal you, but you seem to be doing quite well for yourself.
They have had trouble hitting me.
So I see. Also, you have some very helpful allies.
Indeed. I appreciate them.
There appear to be two pillars remaining that are not being dealt with currently.
That is true. I've been thinking about moving my attention to one of the others.
I am happy to be of assistance if necessary. And Cogbucket Sr. holds their action. You hear the lyrics of Devil Went Down to Georgia change to be something about spending your inspiration when you have it. Dag nabbit. Also, several mentions of the Nine Hells. Somehow it all still tracks.
29 and 25. What do you want me to do?
More damage rolls?
The fact that you didn't need it was irrelevant to this conversation. Then the dang inspiration. So saith the high level bard. I'm performing a ritual to help you. Make use of it. I cooked and cleaned. I slaved over a hot stove for 3 hours to make this meal for you, and you will enjoy it. I don't care if you're full. This is all paraphrased heavily.
Yes, yes.
It is Monty's turn. You know what that means.
He's going to see if his
Monty is so disappointed. Monty's highest level fire spell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Monty's upcast cantrip doesn't renew. But a 23 will hit for Firebolt. And it's only 32 points of damage.
A mere.
Poof, 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 poof. All those go away. And Monty is standing in a hole in the ground because the pillar came in and created a hole in the ground that it then filled. But now the pillar is not there anymore, just blue smoke rising out. And you can just barely see a large floppy hat rising just a little bit above the top of the hole in the ground. And by you, I specifically mean Mech and maybe Hobby and Cavill, because they can see over the Quest Hub bar and grill a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can see Monty being really cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Monty has feelings about this.
Poor Monty.
All right. A, if I can not be in the measuring tool anymore, thank you.
I'm glad you do it too, not just me.
Yeah. A is going to run over and hand something to Mox. Mox runs over to Kurg. Kurg picks Mox up.
It's a dart.
And runs to here. which is just outside of that healing spell that Cavill just used. But regardless, they're healed now. Healed, well, healed somewhat. Mm. And Kurg will attempt to throw Mox.
That's not what I meant. Well.
This might be because Kurg really wants to throw Mox and Mox really wants to try this. With the 19, I'm going to say Mox gets to here, which is not that much further.
Oh, well.
It doesn't go 100% according to plan. But really, does anything ever go 100% according to plan? I ask you.
No, no, not usually. So, yeah.
Oh, no.
Mox does not land on their feet.
Whoops.
They land prone.
Oops.
And within that one, I'm going to say the anti-nanite dart that was passed to Mox from A skitters across the floor and bounces off of the Quest Hub bar and grill harmlessly.
Hopefully it's not damaged.
It appears to be just fine from what you can see from that far away. But Mox has not actually been able to be helpful in this specific instance. That would have been hilarious if it had worked.
Oh, well.
Yes.
They'll have to practice their routine. It helps if you have acrobatics.
Mox is a paladin. You'd think that a kobold would be a dex-based character, and in many ways Mox is. But.
Not that one.
But Mox is a paladin, not a rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hobby.
Hobby.
Yes.
Is. Let's see. Hobby is going to check what my move is. It's 30, and I can double move if I don't think I've done my double move yet, because I do have the feline zappy zap. Not zap, you know, is it the
Lord Zappy Zap isn't even on this planet.
I have feline agility.
That's only zappy zap if you scuff your feet across the carpet. Well, or someone rubs a balloon on your fur.
I'm going to use my feline ability because, well, reasons. What do you mean I need to? I have one. Consume. I will not consume the attribute. I will just use it and manually consume the attribute. There. Ugh. Okay, so that means I can get 60. Okay, let's measure that. Can I go grab up the dart that fell down?
Sure.
If I get to about there.
If you give me an acrobatics roll, because you're going you're descending a cat tree at speed.
Oh, yes. Yes, I definitely should be giving you an acrobatics roll. Because acrobatics is fun, hopefully.
And you're descending 15 feet at speed. Okay, that's 25. With a 25, I'm not even going to have you take the fall damage. If the roll had been under 20, I would have said, yes, you do it, but you land hard.
Spring. Scoop up the dart. Throw dart.
Okay, make your roll.
Okay, let me make a roll. No, I do not hit I. I go back to not that version. Yes, thank you. Okay, I have darts of my own, so I will put one of these. How many do I have? Will 17 hit?
A 17 will hit.
Damage. Critical, right?
Yes.
11.
All right. All three pillars that remain are now glowing yellow.
I will offer Mox a hand up.
Thank you.
Good try. Maybe you can multiclass into rogue.
No. Paladin's my calling.
I do both.
I'm not very good at being sneaky.
Well, there is that.
All right.
Next up, Tex.
Next up is Tex.
And Cogbucket, who is holding their action.
Yes, but all the enemies that you can attack right now are on the other side of the field. On the other side of the Quest Hub Bar and Grill, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Mech is hoarding all the targets.
How big is the pillar that I'm next to?
Well... If I grab a measuring tool that doesn't draw circles, it is roughly 17 and a half feet wide.
Okay.
It is roughly
so even I try to lift it.
Well, you do happen to have an inspiration die.
I do.
Do actually?
Yep.
That's true, not but wrong. I think using them both at the same time it was limited to just that once.
I would allow it again because we're in the second half of the session and it is funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, hold on a second here.
You can probably only stack them with those particular two bards.
Remember, Cogbucket Sr. held their action.
That's true.
Cogbucket Sr. cast guidance on you.
Okay.
So you have guidance and two bardic inspirations.
Well, then I guess this is going to be the shtick. Tex gets that funny blue glow again. Let's see.
Peerless athlete. So peerless athlete plus guidance plus a D10 bardic inspiration plus a D12 bardic inspiration. What impossibly high number are we going to get now? Tex rolls on that one.
43.
Wow, nice.
You pick up a comically large pillar. Your feet descend several inches into the ground as the ground shatters around you in an anime-style lifting heavy thing event.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
You are holding the world's most awkward javelin.
Problem is, from where I'm standing, to hit anybody with it, I'd have to throw it through the bar.
Doing damage to the pillar made more of the, to call them an ally is the wrong word, the anti-nanite skeletons pop out. There is another pillar over there. You could damage to both of them.
That's true. Before they did this business with the dart, that was the plan. I wanted to throw the pillar at the other pillar and see what happened. Now I'm going to throw the pillar at the other pillar and see what happens.
Also, you have a luck point because you made me laugh. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw it.
It's a bold strategy. Let's see.
Oh, actually.
Hmm?
No, it's too far. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to throw it.
Technically, you haven't used your movement yet. You could walk halfway over and then throw it. Hmm?
That's true.
Walk over. Toss.
Well, considering how high the pillar is, you walk halfway over, then swing it like a bat.
Duck.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'll go here.
I hope no one was in the West showers.
Hiding in there.
What did we decide this role was?
Fearless athlete?
For throwing a thing? For throwing a big thing.
Well, last time I threw a giant robot.
Yeah. And I treated it as a ranged attack that you were... Oh, you looked up the stats for throwing an throwing an improvised weapon.
Yeah, whatever that was. I actually can't find those now.
Well, you're not proficient in it. For this particular attack, I'm going to say it's strength-based. Yes, you could make the argument for being dex-based, but please do not take this as a ruling that a giant pillar made of nanites is a finesse weapon. But I'm going to let you roll a strength check as your attack.
Okay. I actually think I don't add anything to that.
Well,
oh, no.
Well, for the next 10 minutes, you have advantage on this type of roll.
On athletics checks.
One could argue that it's a strength athletics check to throw something really, really
it's an advantage anyway. It got hit with a dart.
That's also true.
Hmm. All right.
A 19 is going to hit.
Okay. So now there's a pillar in another pillar.
And I finally have
a use case for those calculus problems where we had to calculate the volume of a cone intersecting another cone.
When am I going to need to know this? Well, 30 years from now, you'll be playing a game called Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. But we're only on 2nd Edition now. I said 30 years from now. It's going to go up that quickly? Let me tell you. I want to point out, that roll with advantage, the other number was a 4. You had plus 10. 14 wouldn't have hit.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm glad I rolled with advantage.
I'm glad you rolled with advantage. Yes, that advantage was very useful. Right. So, I'm going to have you roll 6d6 for me. This feels like it should be fireball level. 22 points of damage.
Wow.
Crunch.
Okay. So here's what happens. First of all, I am going to fight with these measurement tools to make that go away. And this go away, because we don't need that anymore. And
Tex is also making a mental note to apologize to Kurg and Mox.
Why?
Well, it's possible that they could take it as belittling to unsuccessfully throw a dart at a pillar and then have their friend pick up another pillar and throw it at the pillar.
Hobby, for one, is absolutely hiding the fact that she had any darts of her own left. You never saw them. She doesn't have them. She had to use that one.
The submarine optimals are also very aware of their current level of ability. They are very happy to survive this battle and have been somewhat helpful.
They've been very helpful.
Yeah, the scaling difference.
Several of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They probably have been killing them as well. I mean, you know.
Yes. I haven't been focusing too much on what the NPCs were doing because, oh my gosh, the rolls.
Yes.
I'm not rolling that many dice. It'd be, hey, everyone, you got to play. And, we'll come back an hour from now. I'll have rolled for everyone else.
Also, Tex has been going with various groups to help them out. And while she's with those groups, she tends to be like, she uses her turn to do things like direct people in combat, using the commander's strike.
Mm.
Rather than actually engaging in combat herself. So many of them, like for the submarine optimals, it's possible that they haven't seen her fight since the sheep.
When you picked up the sheep.
When I suplexed the sheep, yes.
The sheep with T-Rex stats, yes.
The big one.
But so it's possible that this is, you know, that that scene from Justice League, the Justice League animated cartoon, The World of Cardboard.
Yes.
It's possible that they're looking at her and thinking World of Cardboard.
It does help that you had two bardic inspirations.
Oh, yes. No, this is... I'm not... They don't necessarily know that this isn't normal for her.
I mean, the first time you suplex the sheep, picking up big things is obviously your shtick.
Well, the pillars collide, and there is a burst. A lot of the material that made the pillars is just airborne now. But also, four glowing yellow skeletons pop out and start running this way. And the first three hit the first three of the blue ones, and poof, there's one remaining glowing yellow skeleton that might be able to do a thing if Mech doesn't do something first. Mech might do something first.
Might do something first, yeah. So I've got three of these little guys here, and I'm going to poke them in the head with the javelin, and then that should probably end them. That's my plan.
Well, here's my suggestion, because the little ones go down quick. You don't need to use the javelin. If you click on the grid X of intimidation, you should get a pop-up that says attack roll, and you can click normal.
Okay. Oh, it's right there. Okay. So attack and normal.
Okay.
25. That's going to hit.
Yes.
Okay.
You have a plus 10 to attacks with your Great Axe of Intimidation, so you'd have to roll under a 5 to hit these things. This is mostly going through the motion, but I did roll a nat 1 previously. So, go ahead and click the damage button.
Oh.
Okay.
A 10.
A 10.
That is 10 points of damage. You cleave two of the ones that were in front of you. There is a third. Would you like to try to hit the third one?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead and click the attack button again.
Attack. So this one's in front of me, so that's a 13.
Okay, so.
That's the miss.
That's a miss.
Yeah.
However, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You have luck points.
Also, inspiration dice. Inspiration dice.
Oh, yeah.
Inspiration dice.
Yes, you do have inspiration die. So roll a d12 because Mo has given you an inspiration die. Mo's been canning out inspiration die saying, use these, use these.
Okay.
Use this one and use that one. And
so go ahead and just roll a d12.
D12?
Yes.
Okay, I'm rolling a d12.
A seven is easily going to take it over. Okay. If you didn't have an inspiration die, you could have spent 2 luck points to raise the 13 to a 15. But inspiration dice are inspiration dice. So go ahead and roll your damage.
Find that damage. There we go. Normal.
11.
That's an 11.
All right.
Extra cleaved.
I have applied that damage to the wrong character. Give me a moment here so I can actually do it right. That's only the second time I've done that tonight. It's fine.
These things, they happen.
Okay. So yeah, this one just disintegrates under your great axe.
Cool.
At the end of your turn, these last two skeletons that were on the board run towards each other and disintegrate themselves. And this glowing yellow pillar that was behind you sort of just like jiggles, ripples, and sort of just like pours down onto the floor and evaporates super quick.
Oh, hey. It's like if you combine Jell-O with dry ice.
Yep.
I don't think I want to breathe any of this or consume it.
No. Nope.
How did I add that lighting there?
Probably it's added to the...
I see what I did.
You put it on the whole map. It's an effect on the whole map.
No, it's not.
No?
No. It is three... There are three lights.
We move back in there, huh? Can I do that?
And in getting rid of them, now it's pitch black. There we go.
Okay.
Now we see.
Yes.
Now
yes.
You can see. But it's not glowing. There's no miasma of anything glowing around anymore. The door to member services opens, and Mo attempts to walk out smugly, but immediately trips over some rubble. And then tries to make it look like he meant to do that.
Was that where he was hiding?
Well, how do you think you were able to hear the fiddle so well? He was right there. I've been here the whole
stage
time.
Stage drive had... Oh, it wasn't acoustics on stage.
Oh, I would have loved to have been on the stage, but I would have had to go through all of the Mo gestures, everything. And,
there was a lot of everything.
Yes, and Member Services does have a loudspeaker. I don't quite particularly like the acoustics, but it's serviceable. It's fine. So it looks like you've handled all this.
Yep.
Indeed, although there will need to be some repairs. I'll begin making plans.
No, you do not need to make any plans for that. I know some people.
Very well.
You're going to hire the Moon Kobolds to do it, aren't you?
Yes, kobolds are people. I'm a big fan of their kosher regulations. Do you know that they've invented some of the most ingenious fire suppression apparatus? It's like a driving force for them.
That
quite
makes
glorious.
Sense.
Monty walks over. What are we all talking about? Nothing. What was that, Ellie?
I said, I can't imagine why.
They must have a need for some reason.
Needs must, as they say.
So, yes. Is there any additional cleanup that we need to do?
Or does anyone need
check on the other teams?
Does anyone need any layings on of hands? Javi will go and knock on the hop the bridge. Knock.
There are a lot of sir not appearing in this film's stuff that's happening here. There are various adventurers who are coming out of hiding because they were not high enough level to assist in the combat. There were a bunch that were sheltering in place upstairs that are now coming down. There's a collection of clerics and bards and paladins who are doing lay on hands and getting people to the infirmary. There have been some fatalities, but it has been established that a fatality is not always a fatality with this particular group of individuals. Hogbucket Sr. might, in fact, know some resurrection spells themselves because high-level cleric. And also, Hogbucket Sr. knows a few kobolds who also are quite skilled at bringing people back from the dead. Which became a plot point on the moon. Those are words that came out of my mouth.
Yep.
And they're not wrong.
Nope. They are not wrong.
Yes. I kind of like the idea of having the next campaign be on a, be in another universe, because we have so many retired high-level characters that we have access to here, many of which totally know Daldane.
She gets around.
She does. Right. So, all things considered, there is some cleanup that I think the second chances will be most ideal with handling.
We will head to aisle 3 momentarily.
Well, you see, I've put a lot of investment into this particular establishment. I consider it a pet project. I helped too. Yes, I know. You are a great help, Monty. But just because you are also invested in it doesn't mean that I am not. We're sharing. You remember our talk about sharing? I zoned out. Regardless, as I said, I've invested a lot into this particular organization. And now someone has given us 4 skylights. Apparently.
Shall we go return the renovations?
With interest, I believe. I do like to have my investments accrue interest.
I'm certainly interested in this.
Well, as you know, somebody gave something to an enemy combatant recently.
A souvenir.
Says this, looking over at Hobby. Yes, a glorious souvenir. Now, some might say tracking someone like that is rather dubious, but, you know.
I'm a rogue. Rogues are dubious.
Yes, I do appreciate that. Member Services is able to track that particular flagstone of yours. Really, we called it a flagstone. Whose idea was that, anyway?
Someone who makes puns.
Monty is looking. Monty has a halo over
him. He's holding it up by a stick.
The halo may be made of fire.
Seems to be on fire.
It might actually be a minor illusion because Monty knows that cantrip. But regardless, every single member of the founders that I've talked to says that they hate the name Flagstone and they didn't come up with it. But one of us did. Spoiler, it was one of the interns. It wasn't actually one of the leaders. They just put it on the paperwork and nobody bothered to check. They just signed off because there were so many other things that they were worried about.
Sounds about right.
Yes.
I think this is like the second or third version of how the name happened that you've said. Which is delightful.
Fennec Sr. also hated the name and said somebody came up with it, but I can't remember if Fenix gave the name of who came up with it. Regardless, if it was Mo's prepared to lie. Regardless.
Bards aren't obliged to tell the truth.
Do you know that there's a spell called Gate? Yes, I am quite aware. I know this spell. I have it prepared. Yes, and it doesn't work, does it? It is quite effective, actually. If the owner of the plane of reality you wish to visit doesn't want you there, does it work? Ah, I do see your point. Yes, that's why I commissioned the Ogmanites. They're making their own gate. Oh. I'm told the prototype should be ready. You don't mind trying a prototype, do you?
Have we ever?
I mean, I figure that there's a decent chance you'll res us if there's a problem, right? Eventually. You know, back of the line, of course.
No, this is a high priority because Sclerora, as you know, is attempting to become a deity. And the last time a deity crossed me, they stopped existing. I would like to achieve something of a reputation.
Sounds fun to me.
Wonderful.
Ready to go when it's ready, boss.
This is when the DM realizes that he hasn't properly imported the map that he was going to have you all go to at the end of this particular speech.
Oh, okay.
So give the DM a second here. Stand by. Stand by.
Standing by.
Yeah, I am just going to have to import that off camera. That's a shame.
Okay.
That's a shame, but you'll see that later. So,
all right.
When we have our next session, you will be in the Augmentite Enclave about to go through a portal that takes you to a demiplane that also happens to be a phylactery made entirely out of nanites that are Laurora Springwither, because that's the loophole to the wish.
She's her own phylactery. Reasonable loophole.
Yeah.
If she weren't dropping things on us, it wouldn't be a problem.
The nanites have to agree to being controlled. Sclorora mm-hmm. agrees to control herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. That's the loophole. Yep. So.
Okay.
If she had only decided to be... to take this moment to do a bit of self-reflection and possibly not be a terrible person. I mean, she's been given a second chance, so, oh well.
Yes, She was given several chances. And for a time, some people that I know considered her to be a valuable ally, but she's decided to be not worth the investment. And she's decided
oh, well.
That she doesn't care if she hurts people that I care about. The last
it's never
time,
been a good idea.
No. The last time, I had some friends deal with things. This time, I intend to come along for the ride.
Ooh, yeah, you've always been too busy to do that before. The other before.
And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yep. Next session, you fight a demigod. It's going to be fine. My name is Crash. I've been your DM for the evening. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth and Ellie and Eo and Jen and Crash. Who wants to plug a thing?
Yes, Mom, and writes
I'm
books.
Ellie.
Yes, you are.
You are.
You are a delight.
Yep. Yes, Mom writes books, ElizabethMcCoy.com. And if you look for Elizabeth McCoy as an author at warehouse23.com, you'll find my gaming stuff too. And speaking of books and gaming and stuff,
site is Book of Jen. I think it's either .net or
it's .net.
It's .net. Okay, I got it right this time. I haven't put a lot of things on it because I've been honestly in and out of dental work and stuff like that. So I'm gonna try again to like start up the Shattered Soulstone podcast again. So
well, this is gonna go live in like October for non-patrons. No, November. This will be live in November for non-patrons. So by okay. then you'll have like 106 new episodes out.
Probably. Okay, I can understand that. Yeah.
And dear listeners, if that does not appear to be the case, you just started counting from the wrong point.
Clearly.
When did we record okay. this? You'll never know.
Yeah.
Because you don't stream these anymore.
On Sunday.
Right. With that said, also, speaking of websites, AaronBSmith.com is where I put all of these podcasts that we record. Also, a few other things that I've created over the years. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/CogwheelGaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, Zed, X, I think we're about to have company. Do prepare to say hello to them. Good night, everybody.